Welcome everybody to a new episode of the OTT podcast. My name is Tyler Thompson. I'm the editor-in-chief of Kentucky Sports Radio. And tonight I'm joined by Fake Barney. Barney, before we get into our Friday Night Lights rewatch, how are you doing?
Good. I'm actually sitting out here with my Monday Night Lights on the porch. So we've got some little ambiance switcheroo. Doing all right. Hanging in there. Hiding from the germs. How about y'all?
The same. We took last week off and just went up to the lake and pretty much turned off the world for a week. So that's why there was no new episode last week, if you all were looking.
Well, I recorded one. You just weren't a part of it.
Oh, is that how you got Buddy Garrity on the podcast?
Yeah. We released that. It was super secret. We got some super secret, really good ratings too for that.
Good. I'm glad. Yeah. So if you guys
so the
are
show went on,
in,
you know, we had to stop because you went on vacation.
That's good. I'm glad. It's nice to hear. So, the last episode we did, we recapped part one of season three episodes. So episodes 1 through 6. And it was pretty good. Things are about to change, though. There's some big changes about to happen in Dylan.
And they always happen in the second to last episode of the season is what I'm – and then, like, the last episode of the season – is really anticlimactic and weird. It seems like that's been the trend for every season.
Oh, I really like the last episode of this season.
Well, but then like I always feel like that it like should be the first episode. It's like they kind of hit reset and let you know like new characters and see new things and see new stuff. Instead of it being in the first episode of the new season, it's the last episode of the last one. It's interesting. It's fun. I mean, it's cool.
Yeah. So you guys in real time, are you done with the series yet?
No, we've got 2 or 3 episodes left for the whole thing. So yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, really like it. And Tammy is growing on me progressively throughout. I think you were a little unfair early on. Tammy,
I was.
My very first impression of Tammy is her whining about his and her closets.
It wasn't a great pilot for Tam.
And we don't get what I've been calling Tam sass until the very first episode that we'll talk about next time is when Tam sass really comes into its own and you start to like think that she's awesome.
Yeah, and I think we kind of brushed on this in one of like the really early episodes we did, how if you look at the DVD art, it starts, you know, Coach Taylor and Street and, you know, a lot of the players. And then slowly but surely, Tammy kind of takes over the cover art.
Yeah, and then on the iTunes one, she's like, raw, like right there.
Yeah.
We laughed about the iTunes art as well because now that we're, like, further along, like, all the people that are on the iTunes art are, like, not even in the show. So it's funny.
That's true. I mean, we're about to go through a monumental shift with the show, but we're not there yet. First, we got to check in with John Rayburn. So if you guys are just listening to this podcast, it's also available on our YouTube channel because we're doing it on Zoom. So if you watch on Zoom, you can see our virtual backgrounds. Mine
KSR
is still,
Digital.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Mine is still Buddy Garrity with the Dylan Panthers Clear Eyes, Full Hearts, Can't Lose golf cart.
And you can't see Tyler, but she's doing her best weather person imitation there.
It's harder than I thought it'd be.
And went the wrong way to start off with.
Well, because like the Zoom buddy. Is mirrored. So it's
that's
like,
the way it is when you're a weather person. Have you ever taken a tour of a TV studio and seen like the weather person set up with the green screen and how they have to do the whole broadcast staring into a mirror? It's so weird.
That is weird. I went on a tour of the Today Show studio with my sister, like, 10 or 15 years ago. Uh-huh. But they didn't have like the weather part.
Like, they didn't let you like go and stand there in front of the green screen and stuff.
No.
If you do that at the local TV, like when you're, I mean, you're too old to do it now.
I could just go into like LAX 18.
Yeah, like, if you chaperoned an elementary school trip to that, then they would let you try to do the weather probably. I know that's kind of like the big highlight. And I remember being a kid and just being completely like just my respect for the weather people.
Well, you're a weather nerd. So.
I know, but then not only do you have to be a nerd, but you have to be able to like do that stuff in front of a mirror, which I mean, you have a college degree from a fancy spancy school in North Carolina and you just went the wrong way. So I'm just saying it's a lot harder than it looks.
That's very true. I agree.
I got gas by your school the other day.
Oh, really?
It's like a roundabout. It's so rich. It's like
they
the
didn't
whole,
used
like
to have that
area. Yeah.
Yeah. When I was at Davidson, they did not have the roundabout. They have like double roundabouts now.
Oh, there's roundabouts like every few feet. There's another roundabout.
And they have like a really nice grocery store right
there. It's the Harris Teeter. Yeah.
That's where I used to be there.
Yeah, that's where I got my gas, and I was like, "Dang, how did Tyler?" I mean, that would have bankrupted me in college right there. That one trip.
No, Davidson's changed a lot for the better. I'm glad for them. But while those kids have the fancy roundabouts and the Harris Teeter, we have free laundry. Like they would do your laundry for you. But now they don't do the laundry for you at Davidson anymore. So you know, it's like.
Well, that just completely, I mean, why even go?
Instead of upper first class problems, they just have first class problems. So
I got you.
Yeah. So Barney has now changed the background to Minka Kelly and John Mayer, which, you know, we're getting to see the last of Minka almost. I mean, she comes along every now and then. But.
Yeah, she makes random appearances that I just did not get, but we can talk about that in later. Podcast, but that was the most random time for her to show up. So yeah,
right. Well, we'll get there. First of all, we're gonna tackle season 3, part 2, which is episodes 7 through 13. Instead of kind of recapping each storyline, we're gonna give out our FNL on OTT awards. All right, so Barney, what was your favorite storyline of the second half of season 3?
I hated the Jason Street stuff at the beginning, but then really liked it at the end.
Okay.
Like, so. I really liked his story coming to a good place. Like, I read where somebody wrote on Twitter the other day and said that the ending of Friday Night Lights is, like, perfect. So I feel like that, even though I don't know what that is yet, I'm probably gonna think that, because I really liked the way that I felt like we were just spinning our wheelchair wheels with Jason for like all this time, and I didn't feel like it was going anywhere, and the waitress storyline didn't make any sense, and then it all kind of, I feel like, ended in a good place. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of happy to get rid of Jason Street. I don't want that to sound mean, but we covered that in the last episode, just how his storyline kind of got exhausting.
Right.
And confession. So I did skip one episode in this season because I was running out of time before we were doing this. And it was the Jason Street and Riggins Go to New York episode,
which was like one of my favorite episodes of the whole series.
See,
so
it's
far.
Funny you say that, because when I was looking through and I was like, I remember really not liking that episode, but you said it was one of your favorites.
You definitely should rewatch it. I loved it, not just because I love New York, but I think also that I was starting to think about the thing that you said. That's why you can't say anything to me about anything, because I'll just remember it. But like how you were saying that, like, they didn't have a budget and stuff. And there wasn't a lot of things going on. And so I think that, like, just having the big switch to New York was cool. And I like them being in a different place. I always liked it in the OC. Remember the OC episode where they went to you don't remember the ones where they're sitting around the pool house as much as you do when they go to TJ, and remember the one where they went to Miami?
I don't, but you just rewatched that series and I haven't.
Yeah, the OC, so. I mean, it's so whenever you take the folks like out, remember the Friends where they go to London?
It was yes.
Like, London, baby. Whenever they go on a road trip, it's great. It's good. So I felt that way about FNL. It was cool to see them in New York, and it was funny to see Street feel like he could just roll up into that agency, and it was just, the whole thing was great. It was great.
Yeah, I mean, it tied a bow, like you said, on his storyline.
And then buying the suits were awesome. They saw that one, they saw a man walking down. It was just so like country come to town. It was perfect. It was great. It was like they saw a guy walking down the street. We're like, oh, that guy's suit's nice. You know, hey, where'd you get that suit? And then they spend like the whole day looking for like, you know, some like designer place. They get there and they realize that the suit's $2,000. And they end up like getting the 2-for-1 suits. It was great. So I just thought the whole thing was great. I thought it was super, like, I think everybody remembers their first time going to New York. And
yeah.
And like everyone, everyone has that feeling, like, where you are like, okay, I got this. I'm not a complete, you know, bumpkin. Like, I can walk around, and then you realize, yes, you are a bumpkin. Like, at some level, we all had some kind of embarrassing moment, probably. So.
Yeah, I agree. So that was not my favorite storyline of the second half of season three. Yeah.
Tyra's cowboy, wasn't it?
No. I'm going to go with Mindy and Billy's wedding.
Oh, yeah.
So I just shared my screen. So if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see one of the many awesome pictures of Mindy and Billy's wedding, which is just as over the top as was promised. I mean, because we kind of got to see them plan the wedding throughout the season, right? You know, it was like, yeah. Tyra was worrying about the wedding or the bridal shower, and, you know, Mindy picked out her dress and it had wings on the back, and like, it almost showed her butt crack, and there were just so many great things about it.
Yeah, the wedding was awesome. The outfits are just, I mean, we're looking at them now, but they're just so great. The fluorescent lights in the ceiling. I mean, there's just so much. The wood paneling, like, it looks like it was, I mean, what kind of room has wood paneling and fluorescent lights?
Some kind of like Elks Lodge or something.
Yeah.
VFW.
pretty legit.
Yeah. One of the many things I loved about it is, and this is kind of going along with why I love the season finale, is it's a great narrative device to wrap up a season, because you get to check in on multiple couples/characters at one event, and you kind of get to go around the room and see how everybody's doing. And there were so many real moments with so many of the characters.
When the Taylors were like, why are we here? Like, we don't even know these people.
Yeah, that was great. Saracen broke his grandmother out of the nursing home and brought her, which I thought was really sweet. I know, I'm sure you hated it, but.
Yeah, I mean, it was getting toward the end of the season, so I was hoping that grandma would trip and fall, and that would be the end of it, but no, we still got grandma going on.
But it was really sweet how he went to the nursing home and, like, you know, brought her out and got her dressed up and all that. I thought it was just really sweet. Tammy and Eric, like you said, were great. You had the really interesting moment with Tyra and Riggins, kind of having that realization that, you know what, this can't go on.
How many times is this now?
I know, right? They are the ultimate off and on in this series. But I like that they came to a realistic conclusion about both of their futures. It's like, he knew that she couldn't pass on Vanderbilt, and she knew that she couldn't pass on Vanderbilt.
I had a note, and I don't know what it means, that I wrote while I was watching this, and I said, it's alive when Tyra walks out of room.
It's alive.
What is that?
I don't know.
I think it was something somebody said that was funny. Oh, I remember what it was. Somebody walked out of a room. I guess it was Tyra. I don't think it was Tyra, though. I think maybe I auto-corrected the Tyra. But somebody was, like, asleep or lethargic or something, and they walked and they got up and moved, or they, like, were, like, passed out and they moved, and somebody goes, it's alive. And like it was, like, you know what I'm talking about?
Was that maybe when Tyra, when Landry, like, passed out and missed the bus to state?
Yes. Yes, yeah. I think that was it. And Tyra, somebody goes, it's alive.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
That made me laugh. I wrote that down. It's alive when Tyra walks out of room. So I think that's what that means, but I liked that part.
Gotcha. Made me,
anytime that I laugh out loud at a TV show in 2020, like, not because 2020 is so, like, 2020, but, like, just because – we've kind of all seen it all when it comes to comedy and humor and on TV and what to expect. And I feel like that if a TV show, after all the media that you and I watch, like, constantly, that if a TV show can make me, like, laugh out loud at a scene, that's a pretty rare thing. I feel like, are you like this, that you always laugh whenever you're with other people, but if you're by yourself, you don't laugh?
Kind of. Yeah, because I think it's like you want to engage the person that you're watching it
with. I noticed it when I used to go to Super Bowl parties with a youth group when I was growing up. So, like, you know, you'd get, and there would be a commercial that came on, and I would just be like, like laughing at it. And when I realized that when I was by myself watching those commercials, I like never laughed. I would just sit there and like look at the commercial, and I might be like, oh, that's funny, but like it wouldn't actually make me like guffaw.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, it's like part of one.
Are you like that too, or is that just me?
I'm sure I am. Like, there's stupid stuff that I'll laugh at when we're watching TV that if it was just me sitting there by myself, come on.
But that line when it was like passed out and moved and they were like, it's alive. Like, for some reason it hit my funny bone and I wrote it down.
That was my Billy Gillespie moment of the season, actually.
Oh, really?
Okay. When Landry passes out after partying the night before state. He misses the bus and he has to have Tyra drive him because he's too drunk. Like, there's that great moment where he's like, he gets Tyra to come over or whatever. And he's like, yeah, you're going to have to drive me because I'm too drunk. Like, it's just so Billy G.
That was really Billy G.
Yeah. So speaking of Tyra, she had, probably my second most favorite or my second favorite storyline of the season. Cause she kind of got her character arc. And she ends up going to the school that she wants to go to, and she writes the essay, which I was going to get your thoughts on the essay. Like
with Landry, like...
Yeah, when they're in the car and she's...
Oh, where she, like, where he pushed her, and she starts, like, saying, like, she's... And he's like, yes, write that.
Yeah.
That was really good.
So you thought it was good. You didn't think it was cringeworthy?
No, the most cringeworthy moment was Coach walking in on Julian.
That's what I had to.
And this is an underlying problem that I have with Friday Night Lights.
Oh gosh.
Just in general. And we continue to notice this. I think we brought it up. I mean, okay, what do you think I'm gonna say? What is the most ridiculous, unrealistic thing about that whole scene?
The timing. Like,
no.
Okay, wrong. What is it?
The door is wide open.
It's a small town, though.
You never, ever are going to leave your door just open like that. And, like, and so they're doing their stuff, and the door's, like, open. And that's the first thing that me and Baby Bop are like, door's open, close the door. And that just, like, and I think because everyone realizes that, like, that makes it even more, like, tense because you know that something's going to happen. And you know that the next scene they're going to show is his car pulling up and then –
It's Lily's suspense of disbelief.
Also, close the blinds. We have a huge blinds issue in Friday Night Lights. First, it was the stalker watching Tyra watch movies with Landry.
Yep.
Close the blinds. And he doesn't know that you're sitting there watching a movie, right? Tyra always leaves the blinds open, and it drives me nuts. She's, like, walking around in her clothes. Like, she knows little stalker dudes out there. This was last season. She's all, like, walking around in her clothes with her blinds open. And then this season, and I wrote it again in all caps, blinds always open, when Billy comes looking in on Mindy hanging out, you know, with was it Lila?
Yeah, Lila. Saying,
yeah, and here Billy's like all looking in on him and stuff. It's like, close the blinds, man.
Yeah, I hear you. Have you ever walked by somebody's house and they've had their blinds open and they've been watching something really scandalous on TV?
No.
But like. I guess I live in a more populated neighborhood, right?
You talking about this happens to you now, or this happened when you like used to ride your bike by Larry Vault's house?
Oh, well, let me tell you. No, I'm saying like when we're walking Gatsby or whatever, and because we live in a city neighborhood.
Are you about to incriminate your, before you incriminate yourself as a peeping Tom?
No, because you can see people's TVs from the sidewalk.
Probably see all kinds of stuff if you walk up looking in their windows, Tyler.
I mean, I'm not walking up looking in their windows, but when
you got this from Friday Night Lights. You learned this from Friday Night Lights that you can, like, leer at people from the street.
Well, I'm just saying that the issue you have with Friday Night Lights is kind of a issue a lot of people have. They
That's
need to
gross.
Know if they're watching something scandalous, or not even scandalous, if you're watching a cable drama, you're probably going to have nudity in it.
You know, like another thing that's awkward, too, is people that watch that stuff on airplanes.
Oh God.
Yes. Or when, like, the airplane show is showing it, like when it's on the movie and, like, it's something, even if it's not.
They have to have regulations against that. Like,
no, you haven't had that experience before?
Oh, you mean like in the ones on the seat?
Yeah.
It's been so long since I've been on an airplane.
Yeah, like you're sitting there and like the person that's like right there, it's like right there. It's not like you walking around like looking in people's windows. This is like, it's like right there in your face.
It's awkward.
But yeah, shut the blinds, Friday Night Lights. This is, I know it's Dylan, but we can see. That means other people can see. And then also shut the door. Like, that was by far the most cringeworthy moment.
If you're going to have
completely prevented,
if you're going to have relations with your, you know, whatever, lock the door, you know,
or even just shut it. That'll at least give you them. Remember when Sarazen was hanging out with the, with his house,
Carlotta.
Carlotta and grandma, there was that moment where she knocked on the door and then opened. That he could throw her on the ground with the blanket, and grandma had no idea what was going on.
All right, do your best Grandma Sarazen impression.
Like, so I gotta put my big glass.
All right, let me pull up a visual here.
My big glasses.
Here you go.
So what am I doing? Am I walking
this,
in?
So what did she say to Matt when she knocked on his door and Carlotta was in the bed?
Matt, what you doing in there?
Tell Carlotta been eating all my snack wells. You better tell her to stay away from the snack wells.
Where's my snack well?
That's a terrible grandma.
Grandma needs to go.
Oh, hush.
It was grandma. Only $2,500, Matt.
She was so happy, though. Oh, okay. Anyway. Least favorite storyline, I think this one's obvious for me, it was at least Cash and the pill popping abusive moment where Tammy and Eric had to come rescue Tyra. You remember that? I mean,
I was like, who is Cash? Yeah, I just called him the annoying cowboy. Yeah, I was sitting there thinking, Cash, is he like some football player that I forgot? That was by far, I had that. As by far the most irritating. And Tyra also didn't help that when she goes to see Crucifictorious. And Landry,
oh, I have a Crucifictorious picture.
And Landry's like not sucking. And Tyra gets this like look on her face where she's like, wow, a rock star is almost as good as a cowboy. Like, well, she like gets this look, like she's looking at Landry. And
you knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, she's just the worst. She's like, oh, you know, I never really thought of Landry as a rock star, you know.
That's well, and then Julie doesn't help matters when she's like, oh, doesn't he look cute up there?
Right.
Or something. And you can just see Tyra's like, yeah. But
I thought for a second that Julie was going to experiment with the bass player.
No, no, Devin, no.
Oh, I thought that was coming. I looked at everybody, but I was like, oh, we're about to have some 2004 breakthrough television here.
So what did you think of Crucifictorious' big show? So Tyra pulled some strings, and they played at the club.
It was good. Now, and they're going to be regulars now. You know?
And they're way better than Julie's old flames, the Swede from season 2.
The Swede.
You remember how bad he was?
Yeah, I mean, let's not pretend like Crucifictorious is going to be getting any kind of deals anytime soon. But I mean, you know, I mean, for Dylan and GarageBand playing their very first gig, and I mean,
pretty good.
Props.
Okay, favorite character. I will start on this one because I think it's going to shock you.
Okay.
My favorite character in the second half of season 3 was Lila.
Really? Okay.
And it was only because these are my notes. I didn't want to throw things at her, which is okay. Good. That's a good start for me and Lila. I really loved her friendship with Mindy. The girls' night when they got drunk and sang "No Billy in My Chili"
and really made me laugh. Open. Yeah.
With the blinds open, right?
Blinds open.
I thought it was cool to see her have the fun dynamic with Riggins, where she lived with him for a while and like didn't become, you know, a degenerate like the Riggins boys, but had moments where she was like drinking beer and playing video games. And
good.
Yeah, it was funny. But all that being said, in the end, she did make the mature decision that she was not going to go to San Antonio State, that she was going to go to Vanderbilt. And I thought that was really just
her
a
buddy
nice...
Garrity Chin is stabbing me in the head. Look at that.
Oh, man. She did get it from her dad, so. Yeah. But, yeah, she had to – speaking of her dad, she had a lot to put up with from him. And even after she stood up for him with, like, her bratty siblings, like, right. Remember that camping trip they went on? Yep, and the kids were like, hey, no, man, we want hemp seeds. I don't even know. Organic stuff. And she really fought for her dad. And her dad threw it back in her face when he spent her college fund. And I give Lila props. She is not my favorite character of the series overall by far. She's definitely in, like, the bottom five, maybe bottom three, but she was good in the second half of season three.
Okay. Yeah, that does surprise me. I'm not as huge of a Lila fan as
I used to love Lila.
No, I've always loved Julie and still like Julie.
Oh, God, how?
Three episodes left, I still like Julie.
Yeah.
You know, and all that happens in season five with Julie, I'm still...
Don't get into it. Spoiler jar.
I'm saying I still have sympathy for her, and I'm waiting for her to just be terrible, and I've only got, like, two episodes left for her to be terrible. So, but I think that, I would probably, if I had to rank at the end of watching all this, all my characters, which we should probably do, we should rank all of them.
We'll definitely do a series wrap-up, yeah.
Yeah, I'm probably with you on Lila. I think the only thing that you and I really disagreed on... like super disagreed on is Julie and I'm coming around on Tammy. We disagreed on Tammy at the beginning, but like, I think in fairness to me, she was kind of sucked at the beginning. So
she got better as the series went on.
So what was that? Was that your favorite character?
Favorite character.
Mine was Sarah's, and I loved everything about the scene with Matt in the street.
Yeah.
Coach. And also Julie and Tammy were hilarious in that scene together where they were like playing off each other and like laugh about, you know, he gets 10 chances to not mess up, to run the route as a wide receiver. He's like, well, let's go out the street right now. Like, it was just so like.
Was that the New York episode?
It might have been. That was my
favorite.
Yeah,
so that's
episode.
Why I don't remember that that clearly.
It was so good for like a million different reasons. And that scene, you know what? I think when I think back on Friday Night Lights, again, I've got a couple episodes left, but I think at this point, almost done, when I think back on Friday Night Lights, that's probably going to be like the thing that I remember is that scene that was really, really good. Because it was funny, but it was all Coach being Coach, and he was just so like, oh, I'm not going to be wrong. And then he always gets proved wrong. And then he's always just like, you know, it was so good. It was so good.
Okay, least favorite character. I'm going to share my screen to show you mine. I think, aside from Cash, I think this one's a pretty easy. Joe McCoy.
Oh, gosh.
Terrible. Yeah. He's like almost comic.
We were supposed to hate him, though.
Exactly. That's what I was saying. It was like he was so over the top as a villain.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, he's not only verbally abusive of his son, he's physically abusive.
Yeah.
He won't let him have a girlfriend. He's just so overbearing, and it kind of culminates in this really ugly moment in the parking lot between him and JD.
Oh, it's the worst. Yeah, that was cringeworthy too. There was a lot of they did a great job of making a lot of cringeworthy scenes that were just well done, well executed, well written.
Yeah, so he was definitely by far my least favorite character. While we're talking about him, do we want to talk about his son, JD?
I thought that was Tyler Hansbrough.
It does look like him in that picture.
It looks like him in everything. It's exactly him.
So yeah, what were your thoughts? We kind of talked about this in the last episode. Do you at all
progressively
feel bad
obnoxious
for him? Okay. Even when his dad is so awful to him and you see what he has to go through.
No, he's a character. There's been two characters, one that we haven't come to yet, and he's the other one that at first I liked them actually and didn't really mind them, and I felt kind of sorry for them, and then I grew to like not be able to stand them. And it's only because of the writing was so good. Like, I'm talking about like not in a different way than the way that you hate Julie because her hair is perfect and her face is perfect or whatever reason.
Oh, jeez.
But like they did a great job of making me want to hate them, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I still feel like in season three you feel a little bad for him though.
The other one rhymes with Schmince's Schmad.
Okay, yeah.
So I started off really liking and feeling sorry for Schmince's Schmad.
Well, you know what? This is not the season four or season five.
I'm just saying I felt the same way about JD.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
And it's because they did a good job of stringing me along to be that way.
So was he your least favorite character of this
season? No, this is going to shock you. Okay. Guess who my least favorite character is, especially considering all that I've said so far about the thing I like about the season.
Tammy.
Jason Street irritated the crap out of me.
I thought you just said you loved his character arc.
I love the way that it came to an end, and I think it's almost because he drove me nuts.
Fair enough.
Were several things that I wrote down that annoyed me about Jason Street's storyline this season. How about a big problem that I have with the New York episode that I like so much is that Jason does, you know, he gets rejected by the agent, right?
Yeah.
And he leaves and he does all that work trying to get the other guy to come back with him or whatever. He does all this work, right? And then when he shows up again in Manhattan, he doesn't wear his second buy one, get one free suit. He shows up in jeans and a t-shirt. Like, what are you doing, dude? Like, come on, Jay Street. Like, you're supposed to be like a legit agent. I know that you got two suits because we were there. Buy one, get one free suits. Not only did he not wear his other suit, he shows up wearing jeans or something. And what are you doing, man? That drove me nuts. I thought that was tacky and obnoxious. The other thing that irritated me about Jason is that he sees – it's like a person comes and introduces themselves to him, and he immediately wants that as a career.
And we kind of talked about that a little bit.
Yes, but this is where it really happened because this half of the season is where he met the agent, and then he's like, oh, I could be an agent. And it's like he goes to get a biscuit at McDonald's, and he's like, oh, I could work at McDonald's. And then it's like, you know, and it's like every single person in his entire life that he comes into contact with, he's like, oh, I could pass out mints in the urinals to people and say, you know, hi, sir, would you like a mint? I mean, it's unbelievable. Oh, I could sell cars for Buddy Garrity. Oh, I could, and it's just like, it's like, dude, pick a career, man. Like, come on. And it got to be annoying that he went out to the mailbox and was like, oh, I could be a mailman. Like, it's just, it drove me nuts. It drove me nuts.
All right. That's fair. I did not expect you to say that, but you know what? I'm proud.
But I was glad to see him have a happy ending. I did see him have things come to a nice close for J Street.
Okay.
With the waitress, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah,
I'm glad I didn't end up with the waitress, you know, from Buffalo Wild Wings. Things ended up, you know, good for me there.
Everything
in the street that he ended up with.
Right. So has there been any more fallout from Baby Bop finding out about the BW3's waitress?
I don't think that she was upset so much as she was that she found out about it on the podcast. I think it was just like, but it's just, as I explained to her, it's not something that just really comes up in conversation.
With you? Come on. I bet every time you would go to a Buffalo Wild Wings, you'd be like, let me tell you about this time.
What I was about to say was, I don't think the two of us have ever been to a Buffalo Wild Wings together. Okay. Where it could have come up. Also, I have known you for many, many years, actually, preceding when I dated my wife. Not, I mean, I knew her. She was my friend then. But it was the first time that you had heard about it as well. So it's not like I go around passing that around like Jason Street's business card, that story. It's just, it's there. It's out there. It actually happened. There are people that can verify it. That, you know,
what did you Buffalo, think that we all doubted? They were like, Buffalo, there are people that can verify it.
Sometimes Buffalo Wild Wings waitresses put their number on there and things work out.
All right.
Sometimes they don't work out. And it worked out for J Street. And that's the bottom line.
Okay, well, so we already talked about my Billy Gillespie moment of the season. What was yours?
I think my Billy Gillespie moment was Tim Riggins in the city.
Well, Tim Riggins anywhere, let's be honest. Yeah,
but I mean, I think all of the places and things that Tim Riggins wanted to do in the city, again, going back to the New York City episode, I love that. It was good. And it was very Billy Gillespie, who is kind of Texas come to town. I mean, you can imagine him being from Texas. And I think that's why we find Billy, we feel like that Billy fits in well with a lot of these things because they are very Texas. I mean, couldn't you see him posted up in the corner of the landing strip? And, you know, and I think that if his first trip to New York City, he probably made some of the same suggestions on things to do that Tim Riggins did.
Probably so. I could see that. I had a Coach Cal moment of part two. when Coach Taylor gets thrown out of the game, mm-hmm. Some might say on purpose.
Right.
And then goes to the bar to watch it and tries calling the plays in on his phone.
That was good.
That reminds me of every South Carolina game.
Every single one. Every South Carolina game is exactly like that.
And unfortunately for Coach, it kind of blows up in his face because
then Wade gets a shot.
Right. Wade gets a shot, the offensive coordinator or whatever title they had given him to that point. And he wins the game, and it's this great moment, but it's foreshadowing, right?
I didn't pick up on it, but when Coach came back and we can talk about it. I mean, it's the rest of the season. It's the season recap. I mean,
yeah.
When they go as far as they did, I cannot believe that he could be on the hot seat. I mean, that's even beyond, like, Kentucky.
It's pretty bad. I mean,
can you imagine us going to the Final Four or the championship game and then the coach's job being on the line? I mean, that's
so
ridiculous.
You're saying that that storyline wasn't exactly believable?
No, not in any way.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you, but I think the way that they did it was, if you think about it, made a lot of sense. All of the characters that we really, really liked from that Panthers team were graduating.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're talking about from, like, a story standpoint?
Yeah. Let's explain what happened. So
that was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So what happens is, you know, J.D. McCoy's dad, Joe, who we already said is the worst character of the season, kind of becomes the manipulator of the team and what's happening. There's this big redistricting storyline, which is kind of ridiculous, but, you know, maybe in small-town football this stuff happens. I don't know.
Right.
And so they kind of –
that was obvious. You could see that was coming, that you knew that something was going to happen with East Dillon or whatever, West Dillon. But you weren't sure what. I mean, they did a great job. I mean, I would have never thought what happened. So, like, you know, I think they did a good job of making it obvious that it was going that way. But like you said, I think they made it as believable as they could, I think this show does a really good job, with the exception of all the season two characters that we laughed about last time that just disappeared into thin air.
Yeah.
Of having a creative way of people leaving the show besides death or some other, you know, like, oh, you didn't know they moved to Oregon. They did a good job. They do a good job of weaving that and navigating that in a creative way that's different from even shows that have come out since then.
Right. So what happens is eventually Joe McCoy gets his way and Wade Aikman becomes the head coach at Dillon, taking Coach Taylor's job, even though Coach Taylor took the team to state.
And that's just not realistic.
It's crazy. And Coach Taylor is asked to take the job at East Dillon.
Right.
Which is on the proverbial wrong side of the tracks, or I think in this case, the river. And the show, the season ends with Tammy, who, of course, is the principal of Dillon.
Right.
Coming into Billy and Mindy's wedding, knowing the decision that the board had just made. Looking at her husband, and without a word, he knows. And I thought that was my most real moment.
That was cool. I like that.
Yeah, because, you know, we talk a lot about the relationship, how great their chemistry is.
Yeah, that they don't even have to talk. Yeah, that was awesome.
And it's just this, like, heartbreaking moment because, you know, they're just such great actors. And so, but they have a new adventure and it takes the show in a totally new direction, which we're going to talk about in our next episode when we start season four.
Yeah.
I thought it was really, really great. It's very shocking as a viewer to see that because you've had three seasons getting used to Dillon. And
he's the coach of the Panthers.
Yeah. Right. He's Coach Eric Taylor, as Grandma would say.
Right.
And Buddy, I mean.
Yeah. What's Buddy going to do? Yeah.
I don't know. So that was my most real moment. Do you have a most real moment?
Yeah, I kind of already talked about it a little bit, but I had written down my most real moment as Tyra playing the perfect high school girl and all of a sudden going in one day from full-on cowboy to full-on rock star. She all of those weeks or months or however long that was of cash just
stupid.
Faded away in the fog machines of Crucifictorious.
As everything should. I mean, come on.
Right.
All you need in life to change your perspective is a little Crucifictorious.
But, I mean, I think the dumbest thing, the most unrealistic thing about the whole East Dillon Panthers thing with Coach Wade was you would think that the folks making the decision about the coaching would have more perspective and more foresight than – making a decision around one kid who's only going to be there for like, I mean, what? How old is JD? Is he like a sophomore?
He was a freshman, I think.
Junior. Even so, when you're thinking about the coach, you're in theory thinking about more than a 1 or 2 year investment. And to completely choose your head coach is one thing for an assistant maybe. But in what profession do they choose the head coach based upon one kid? I think in any college or high school program, that's stupid. Like, no one would ever do that because they know that that kid could go. And even in the best case scenario, they stay, he's going to be there for 3-4 years in the best case scenario. I mean, like, what?
I think it just proves that in these small towns, money talks and Joe McCoy's got the money.
And what does he do? Do we know what he does?
I don't remember. Real estate, maybe.
Massive house in Dillon.
Yeah, that house. Huh? He makes shit happen. Oh, yeah. Matt said he makes shit happen, I guess. I don't remember that.
Does he like McCoy?
You like Joe McCoy, Matt?
No.
No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Thank goodness.
I was like, whoa.
So before we wrap things up, my best sports moment was from state. So we had talked about Saracen having to play the role of wide receiver once JD McCoy took his job.
Yep.
And he actually goes back in at quarterback.
Yeah.
JD gets benched, which is great.
Yeah,
but
it was good.
My favorite moment was when Riggins threw the touchdown pass to Saracen.
That was awesome.
Take the lead. And even though, you know, Dillon lost the state championship, which I thought was pretty realistic, you know, at least they didn't give them the win like they did in season one.
Well,
right?
that's what Baby Bop said. She looked at me and she said, that's what you wanted to happen in season one. And I said, yeah. And they totally should have flipped those two seasons. Because even more outrageous would it have been if they had won state and then fired coach.
Well, I don't think they could have done that.
Why? Why not? He took them to state. I mean, he was one player
away.
But he lost. Here.
He lost. And if,
but he still – he went to state from Dillon. I mean, come on.
Dillon is just trash.
It is. Four people in the landing strip.
I know. So one thing I've noticed upon rewatching this that I my thoughts about it changed over time. At first, when Coach Taylor took the job at TMU as the quarterback's coach or something, and they had this scene where they showed him in the airplane, and the air, like he was looking out the window at the Dillon Stadium. I was like, that is so unrealistic. There's no way. But then there's another episode later on where they show the airport in the background. And then I was like, oh, and it's called the landing strip. Of course it's next to the airport. So
Yes, I had that. And you see planes flying around all the time.
Yeah, I know. I had that.
But I think that's just because they film it actually in Dallas.
We all have to look that up. I'm pretty sure they filmed it somewhere in Texas. But yeah.
Yeah.
What did you have a good best sports moment?
There wasn't many. I was gonna say it was actually the scene I talked about from this in the street. That was just so. It was just great. That's how I imagine a tryout off the books going. Like it just was good. And then I liked after that how Coach looked over, like the moment that you were hoping for in practice where he looks over and he was like, all right, try running route at wide receiver.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, yes.
Yeah, I'll have to go back and watch that episode now. You've talked about
it.
You
really need to. And just laugh at the fact that Jason doesn't use his second buy one, get one free suit. But other than that, if you can put that aside, it's a great episode.
All right, cool. Any lingering thoughts on season three? It was a great season. After season two, which was so bad, in my opinion at least, they kind of got back on track. You got to see characters grow, evolve. We're going to say goodbye to some of them.
Yeah. It was lighter than season four. So it wasn't my favorite season when I watched it, but now looking back, it's probably my favorite season so far. Even though I like five, actually.
Five?
I don't know. Yeah, I like five. But I don't think that three was my favorite at the time, but in comparison to four, which we're going to have to talk about, which I just thought was so heavy. I liked three a lot. There was just way too much non-football stuff. I think in three and four, but especially four, like we shouldn't have to sit. I think that we should have to think really hard about the best sports moment. And they've kind of made it easy for us the last couple of times because there really haven't been that many good sports moments. And I found that, I mean, you think about season one where it's like Monday, Tuesday. It's like all like countdown to Friday night. And it's just – it's a very different show.
I would agree with that. I think that's fair.
And I loved all the sports. Because remember we talked about that in some of our earlier podcasts, how they did just an awesome job from the writing team of you not knowing what was going to happen in the games. And like Baby Bop would look over at me and she'd be like, I'm like sweating, like sitting here, like thinking about like, I'm like getting stressed out about, are they going to win or lose this game?
Yeah.
And I think really the only moment that we had was Coach Taylor getting kicked out and staying, as far as like a lot of game footage that we saw in this half of the season. And I think for a show that's supposed to be about football, that's a little bit dumb, but don't complain because it gets even worse in season four.
But season four has its moments, which we will get
to. It's great. It's just, you just have to put aside the fact that it's a football show.
Right. Well, you gotta build characters and stuff like that. When you have to start over with an entire new school, you know, you
gotta. I'm ready to talk about season four, but, and you know why, right?
Yes, I know. If you and I are on the same lines, and when I think of season four, there's only one thing I think about, and it just makes me irritated just thinking about it. But we're going to leave that.
I don't think we're thinking about the same thing. So okay. This will be interesting.
That'll be even better then.
Yeah.
So if you guys are watching along at home, I know E! Had a big marathon. They showed all of Friday Night Lights.
Somebody tweeted us about that. Did we get any good tweets or anything since we did the last one?
Just
or
you've been
on vacation,
people,
you're too busy to check.
A lot of people were watching the marathon on E! And chiming in. Like, I forgot how bad so-and-so was and stuff like that. But yeah, don't forget to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Or we've had a couple good YouTube comments. I think
we had one that was not a Russian bot, which was nice.
We have two that are not Russian bots.
Stop the presses.
I know. One that said, all of fake Barney's takes are ridiculous, or his hot takes are just too
That hot. Was the bot. That was the bot. Then it totally said, like, call me 6969. Yeah.
And then I noticed today we had one, which I guess you had compared, or maybe it was me, compared Friday Night Lights to Game of Thrones and said that Game of Thrones was a better show. The person did not like that comment at all.
Oh, they did like that.
They did not like that.
I think that was me, actually.
Just kidding.
And I think there was some context there. I don't, you know, whatever.
Oh, we'll come back. We'll revisit that in our series recap.
Oh, they can eat it, so.
If you don't like it, you can just leave.
If you don't like it, you can just leave.
All right, well, we'll end it on that note. Next episode, we will recap the first half of season 4. That might be out later this week, or we might save it for next week. Sports are starting up, and we're starting to get really busy. So, but we're going to get this done. We're going to promise to do it. So.
Let's do it. We're going to do it like Becky and what's his name?
Mm-hmm. Spoilers. Put some money in the spoiler jar. Barney owes me money.
I said, what's his name?
All right, so clear eyes, full hearts.
Go Cates.
Go Cates.